All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here. Okay, y'all can think he was going for the cycle. I don't. Okay, so let's just agree. Let's agree to disagree. He wasn't going for the cycle.
We're agreeing to disagree.
In a 10-1 game, you go for the cycle, not in a one.
We're agreeing to disagree.
And two outs in a ninth inning.
You don't get to win this. We're agreeing
to disagree. He was running with his head down. How is that not chasing the cycle? He was running with his freaking head down because he thought he could make it. He didn't pick up, actually, and someone said, do we know if Pettis was waving him? No, he wasn't. He was running with his. He has no idea what Pettis was doing because he never looked to him.
Pettis was already waving.
He had to play right in front of him. So he's looking in the outfield, and he thinks, I can make it, and he went for it.
Pettis is waving him home from second already. He was like, keep going.
Send the runner! Send the runner! No, it wasn't.
When your dreams become a nightmare, this is what it looks like.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. You guys can all think he was going. There's no chance. Zero chance that he was trying. That he was going for the cycle. All right, you wanted to talk about something about with the Texans.
Yeah, so we've talked about how this is an unusual season in that there is a very real chance the Texans are going to keep four tight ends, and they have not done that up to this point. They've been a three tight end team. But what also makes this a little unusual is there's no Steven Anderson types who are clearly just slot wide receivers, the matchup wide receivers who don't really have value as inline blockers. So it's different, but you also don't have a lot of flex tight ends / H-backs. You don't really have that who could line up as a fullback. Like, you know, sometimes you get guys who could line up as a fullback and maybe do some lead blocking for you, or the Delanie Walker types.
Well, Waring is more like that.
Waring is, well, I mean, when it's all said and done, he's going to stick his hand in the ground and be a wide tight end, a combo tight end. And, when he gets back from concussion protocol, he's still out.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to think Fells, Bill O'Brien shouted out Fells yesterday. Fells has played great. Fells is a pro blocker. Fells is making a team.
Yeah.
Akins is making a team. Waring is making a team.
So is
Thomas. They're all making a team. That's four. And Adams has played well. So Adams has to be cut if you're going to cut one.
Yeah.
Or if Waring doesn't make it back, if they're worried about Waring's concussion protocol, he's got a red shirt. But then you're still going to go with four tight ends? You might go with four tight ends. They're going to keep three quarterbacks. That's going to happen because Joe Webb can flex into other positions. Are we sure that AJ McCarron gets the backup job back if Joe has a good week this week? They've been happy with Joe Webb.
Well, yeah, and again, you don't have to change too much of your game plan with Joe Webb in there. I don't know.
Joe hadn't played quarterback for a while. I talked to Carl Smith after practice, and he said, you know, it's been a while since he's been a quarterback. And he said he's such an athlete.
Good
he'll have
Lord.
Two or three plays that need to get better every game. And the decision-making at times could be, you know, he had some issues with decision-making on his interception. But he's actually, I thought, throwing the ball fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been much more impressed than I expected him to be. So you're probably going to have three tight ends or three quarterbacks as well. John Clayton thought Lamar Miller could be a surprise cut. Pat Starr pointed that out and said, this doesn't make any sense. On the surface, it doesn't. We haven't heard anything like that. So the only way you...
What?
Yeah, the only way you believe that is if you say, okay, that's too much money for him, and we're going to go with Duke Johnson as our number one, and
it's
Crockett.
Not like money is an issue with the team.
No, they've got
plenty of cap.
They've got cap space. Well, but if you don't want to pay the actual cash. But unless you found somebody...
Now,
let me ask you this, though.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If the right guy made it on the waiver wire, I could potentially see that.
Last week when I asked Bill about the running back position, about who's the possible fourth, he was like, who's the third? Lamar Miller is here.
Yeah, I would say
that's
so, too.
That's silly.
I'm kind of trying to argue a devil's advocate. But if you saw the right guy pop and you said, let's go him, Duke, Crockett, and Higdon, for example, or Buddy Powell. I mean, it would be possible, but you'd have to have the right guy or Buddy
Howell.
Howell, yeah. It would be possible. You'd have to have the right guy hit the waiver wire who you had a really good feeling about that they could handle a ton of carries. There was an argument on Twitter, two Texans fans, about Duke Johnson. And Duke Johnson got – they traded for him to be the eventual starter. I don't know about that. I don't know that Duke Johnson's the eventual starter. I mean, Duke is not a big guy.
No. Well, neither is Lamar Miller, though.
Duke is a
– they don't have
Lamar's
any.
Bigger than Duke.
Not much.
Let me see what Duke Johnson's officials – hey, you know what? They list him at 210. That's actually bigger than I would have thought for Duke Johnson. I don't think he was that size coming – let me look at the draft. When he was coming out in the combine, what was Duke? Well, he's 207. That's pretty good size. That's pretty compact. Duke's a little better size than I anticipated. He feels like a smaller back. But, Del, you watch Duke Johnson at University of Miami. You know, Duke's a different player now. He's probably a little bit bigger, a little more put together. Does he strike you as a guy that can handle 20 carries in a game if you need him to? Maybe if you need him to, can he stack 17, 19, 22 in back-to-back-to-back games? Oof.
I think touches. I think if you're looking at Duke, you're thinking some version, his best self would be some version, lightweight version of Alvin Kamara. You don't hand him the ball 15 to 20 times and stack those back-to-back-to-back. Maybe get him 9 touches in the run game, 5 to 6 touches in the passing game, and that's the way he's going to be most effective.
Why are Miami backs so soft?
They're not soft. They're small.
That's a fair question, John.
Lamar Miller? He can't carry the ball 12 times a game.
He should,
okay?
He should never have.
Duke Johnson? Sorry,
Duke Johnson's
can't
5'9".
Do it. Soft.
And he's like 205 pounds.
5'9"'s not bad.
He's not 220 pounds, though.
No, but
he's 210.
Like 210 to 215.
Soft.
League average is 216.
Soft ass Miami.
For starters.
Oh, yeah. You know, you should blame the player for using them incorrectly. That's the player's fault.
No, they're just Duke Johnson, you can't give a Miami back more than 2 carries, otherwise he'll fall apart.
Yeah, because Frank Gore hasn't been doing it for a decade and a half.
Frank Gore, the guy who had like 3 ACL tears before
soft,
he got out of Miami?
Right? Soft, right.
Soft.
Been doing it for a decade.
And this guy's
soft.
Been playing forever.
Yeah, soft, okay.
So I watched DeAndre Swift yesterday from Georgia, and my comp on him is Frank Gore. It's like, it's amazing how similar they're built and how similar they play. Like, Frank's been a great star. DeAndre Swift, to me, is just head and shoulders, clearly the best running back in college football right now.
I agree. I love that.
He's just so good at everything he does. But to the Texans' point, you know, I think Tyron is not going to make a team before Vincent Smith. That's kind of the prevailing notion out there, is that Vincent Smith is going to make that team. DeAndre Carter is going to make that team. The question is, are they going to keep 6? And that's where Tyron Johnson has a shot, is are they going to keep 6 wide receivers? Because right now, it feels like 5.
Who's the fifth?
Well,
no, Tyron could be, and Steve Mitchell, or Steve Mitchell.
Steve Mitchell could, but DeAndre Carter and Vincent Smith are 4-5. And the other three, you know, the other three, who, you know, Kiki and Will Fuller and Deshaun. So will they keep a 6? And they kept a 6 before. They could keep a 6. But if you're a 6, you got to be really good on teams, whether you're a return man or a cover man.
Well, that's what Tyron Johnson is.
Yeah, he'd have to beat out DeAndre Carter and Vincent Smith.
Or you might need two. Or, I mean, you might need another guy just in case.
Well, this is my thing. I don't think they would keep it's more likely they would cut and practice squad him, which they're going to hang. I think they'll hang on to him.
I think you'll lose him.
As a practice. See, I don't think so. You know how rare it is to get – if you – pick those guys up. You're putting
somebody
them on
needs
rosters.
A punt and a kick returner. You could lose.
Well,
them.
If you lose them, you lose them. Tyron, I don't think they're so over the moon with him that they're terrified of
JD
losing
Johnson.
Him.
Okay, good. Thanks.
You can. I think you'll be okay without Tyron Johnson.
Is this an Oklahoma State thing?
Who couldn't compete at
LSU?
He left LSU because he couldn't compete. He wasn't good enough.
Oh no, no, he left there because he couldn't. There was nobody to throw.
And
him
I was
the football.
Asking about his alligator arms, and they're like.
No, he doesn't have alligator arms.
He's not super excited
call
about
him Stretch now.
No one calls him that.
No one calls him that.
Stretch
no.
Johnson.
And beside that, wide receivers and cornerbacks are where you can go on the waiver wire and find guys that make teams and end up pretty decent if you do a good job, your advanced scouting of other teams.
What kind of job do you do? Do you think he needs some testosterone to get his arms out there?
No, I don't think that's an issue. And as a matter of fact, it's illegal to get testosterone treatments if you're a professional athlete. That's all that stuff is illegal. But it's not illegal for you to be supervised and to have a provider like Men's T Clinic doing it for you. And as a matter of fact, I do want to say this. Men's T Clinic will test you. And if you are not below a certain level, they won't treat you because they understand that that is not something that is healthy. That is something that it can be a little bit dangerous. And so they're going to make sure that your levels are always where they should be. Sometimes you may start a treatment and you're not getting enough benefits, so they will up your dosage. Sometimes they'll see numbers that tell them, hey, let's back the dosage off a little bit. And that's why they are always looking to optimize your performance, whether it's working out, whether it's your libido, whether it's your energy levels for work, your ability to, you know, your ability to metabolize, your ability to process quickly mentally. These are all things that are affected positively or negatively by your level of testosterone. So make sure that your levels are where they should be right now. And if they're not, let my friends over at Men's T Clinic hook you up. Men'sTClinic.com, 5 locations in the Houston area. Make sure that you go to Men'sTClinic.com to find a location that's most convenient for you.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There was a question that was asked earlier on Twitter. Okay, you were talking about crossing different paths. Okay, what if Deshaun... How many more touchdowns would Deshaun have if he was on the Rams?
Oh. Healthy Rams?
I think about 1 million.
We can't talk to you about that. You can't get a legitimate answer from you.
I think he would have 75 touchdown passes this year.
I think he'd have 25% more total touchdowns.
I think he would be incredibly...
He's pretty good at isolating D-Hop.
Incredibly better. So first of all, those receivers.
Here's where I
those receivers that coach. Listen, is it a coincidence that Andy Reid and McVay have two of the best pitchers, quarterbacks? No, because they're imaginative offensively. Because they have weapons. Because they're, as an organization, they feel like they need to go out and get weapons, fast guys. They're imaginative, innovative. They do stuff that you're just like, oh my God, that's fun. That's fun football. When was the last time outside of Deshaun's 7 games, his rookie year, that you said that about a Texans coach and offense?
Well, there were some games before Fuller got hurt where it's pretty fun. I mean, they put some pretty big numbers up there. Sometime I got to remember if it was 17 or 18.
Well, wait. No, that was 17, his rookie year.
No.
Last year with Fuller, didn't they score
50?
Nothing against Buffalo? I mean.
Here it is. Last year they had 42 against Miami. Will Fuller, that was the game he ended up getting hurt. They had 42 against Miami. They had 37 against Indianapolis in a win.
Yeah.
34, you know, these aren't, I mean, 32 is good, I guess, 29 is good. Yeah, it wasn't as good last year. I mean, their offense isn't as good without Will Fuller, and frankly, the tight ends were just very, very average, and he doesn't use, you know, this is why I'm not sure that it would change a whole lot with, it would go up, I don't know if it goes up as much with the Rams as you think, because Deshaun is
Will
relying
Fuller was
upon,
there against Buffalo. Will Fuller was there against the Cowboys. I mean, they scored 20 points against Buffalo.
Yeah, but I don't...
Jacksonville.
And the quarterback was...
Tennessee. But he was there for all those games.
Deshaun was the quarterback.
No, and Bill O'Brien was the coach and running the offense.
Deshaun is also when the ball snapped. I mean, if the quarterback... Then the way you're making it sound...
Again, my question is, would Deshaun be better under Sean McVay? Well,
here's what you're making it sound like. Bill O'Brien is responsible for 75% of offensive performance and quarterback like 25%. I just don't think that's accurate. Deshaun is going to get – Deshaun threw for 50 touchdowns. We wouldn't be talking about Bill O'Brien. We'd be talking about Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I don't know. We're talking about – I'm talking about Sean McVay, and I'm talking about Andy Reid.
Andy Reid has a long history of success with quarterbacks.
That's right. That's my point.
And Sean McVay, we'll see what Sean McVay does. I mean, we've got a couple years where it's good. He is Gruden. He talks like Gruden now. Hey, we got to get this, man. We got to get some of those bang routes going. Sean, you don't have to talk exactly like Gruden, do an entire imitation. But you know what he does? He locks in on D-Hop. You know what the Rams offense does? Spreads it out. They spread it out, and they have a lot of guys when they're healthy. Cooper Kupp, he was lighting it up to Cooper Kupp, Jared Goff was. Brandon Cooks is lighting it up. Robert Woods. That's not what Deshaun does well. Deshaun doesn't get through progressions or isolate multiple wide receivers. He's a DeAndre Hopkins guy. Those guys are a lot better than who he's thrown to.
Well, thank you. And his offensive Fuller line.
Yeah.
And his running
and
game.
Todd Gurley.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, so I thought that it would go up 25%. So in that particular case, in that particular instance, Deshaun Watson, instead of 26 passing touchdowns last year, more like 31, 32 last year. But it's hard to just say because I don't expect him to get sacked 62 times with the Rams.
No, right.
I expect him to be winning more.
So it would be even more.
They'd be winning more.
Yes.
They could protect him more.
No, that's why. No, but see, look at the difference between, okay, Jared Goff. Boy, Jared Goff, he really spreads the ball out. Look at him hitting this guy and this guy. When he was with Jeff Fisher, he sucked.
Oh, he's a rookie.
Well, I get it.
Yeah.
But Pat Mahomes was basically a rookie, too.
No, he had a full year there to sit and learn and watch.
Okay, great. He got to sit and learn and watch.
Let's be fair about it. The offensive line wasn't as good, and then Jared Goff was coming from air raid to a new system. Pat Mahomes didn't have to step right into an offense.
Listen. You get with a coach like Sean McVay, an innovative coach who teaches you and gets you to spread the ball all over the place, then you're going to be better. I am convinced Deshaun would be a lot better if he had a coach that was a lot more innovative. When he had Braxton Miller here, I don't know when Braxton Miller wasn't a wide receiver or whatever, but try. I mean, do you believe that they are going to try to use Kiki QT? You saw what Kiki QT can do. Kiki QT should have a huge year this year. And it should be because they're scheming for Kiki QT to be running free, okay, in the secondary. And if it's all just bubble screens to Kiki, that's fine. You know, he'll pick up some yards or whatever. But you got to run Kiki QT down the field this year.
I just don't, man. Do you really want to build an offense around Kiki QT?
No, not build it around him. But you said spread the ball out.
Yeah.
I want D-Hop to get the ball. I want Kiki. I want Will Fuller to run down the sideline and catch deep balls. But Kiki QT could be a huge part of this thing.
Well, if you stay steam it. And if you stay healthy. Before we talk about any scheme, could QT stay on the field? Because how's he doing right now?
Well, it's
the same as last year.
Then DeAndre Carter, because you know what I've heard? DeAndre Carter is unbelievable.
Carter should be the fifth.
No. I've heard Deshaun and Bill O'Brien say how unbelievable
DeAndre
Carter is.
That's great. He's not more unbelievable than Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins.
That's all right.
He's not.
But those guys had to pay a lot of attention to those guys, so guess what?
You know what else? I'll say this too. Deshaun Watson, you know why sometimes he can be a self-check? Because he doesn't look at his tight ends like he needs to. There must have been 7 or 8 times where I said, oh my God, throw to the tight end there. He refuses to make that. And I don't think here's the problem I think that Deshaun Watson faces right now. That this is not going to be a Bill O'Brien thing. This is going to be Deshaun has to click. He's got to be playing pre-snap chess where he knows where he wants to go with the ball based on expectation of defensive look and based on the matchups. And you can always throw to D-Hop. He'll be contested catches and he'll make contested catches. Will Fuller, you know he's going deep. Where Deshaun Watson has to take the next step is recognizing when he's got a chance to really wear people out with his tight ends and recognize
many catches do you think the tight ends had last year?
I have no idea. I mean, Jordan Thomas had primarily most of the touchdowns. from the tight ends.
He had 65 catches last year at tight end.
Thomas?
The Texans. No, they had 65 catches out of the tight end position.
I don't know where that would rank from a league standpoint.
Well, but they weren't. It wasn't like they were. They were rookies and Ryan Griffin.
Right.
I mean, it's not like that was not a.
I'm speaking of reads. I'm not talking about a total number. I mean, when you on third down, he's not going to look at tight ends a whole lot. He's 10 is where he's going. Right. He's going to 10 on a third down. I just think you have to be able to say, at some point, defenses have to say, we don't know what he's going to do with the ball because this guy will wear us out. I mean, Andrew Luck was winning with Zach Pascal and Rodgers and Ebron. And I mean, he had guys who I didn't think are all that great. Ebron's a good player. He's a flame out in Detroit. But he had some just nobodies at wide receiver that he was winning with, and you didn't know where he was going with the football. He was good at spreading it around. I'm not trying to compare Deshaun right now to Andrew Luck, but we want him to get to that point. But to compare him to Jared Goff, I would rather have Deshaun. But I do think that Goff has a better understanding of where he wants to go with the football.
And you know what? I agree. And that's all coaching. Because
no accountability to player.
Well, no. I think he's better because he's being coached better. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he may. I can't say it. I don't know.
By the way, and they've given him more weapons.
Some of it is standard. Now, I'll agree on some roster stuff, 100%. Huh. Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and
Tyler Higbee,
Gerald Everett, and we're forgetting the number one wide
Todd
receiver.
Gurley.
Todd Gurley. And who else were we forgetting a wide receiver? I just went through Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp. Aren't we forgetting somebody else?
Do they have a coach?
I guess that's it. Well, that's it. Tyler Higbee, I mean, Gerald Everett, Gurley, and now they've added Daryl Henderson, who is a touchdown machine out of Memphis. Yeah. Watch out for this guy. I mean, that is a wealth of rich. They basically just said, well, we're just going to beat your brains in with 100 million touchdowns.
Yeah, as opposed to not drafting any wide receivers or running backs.
Well, how can you do that, John, when you need, just like I do, you had to get.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's talk about something else. 8:30, ESPN 97.5.
You'll be fine. Everything's fine.
Time to talk about Jeff Aaronoff. I'll be fine if Jeff Aaronoff finishes up his work at University of Houston. He has been putting in all kinds of, listen, he has made that baseball facility unbelievable. He has done work. He does work for U of H. He does work. He does entire hotels where he's putting in all of the vanities. He is he's across the state, actually, doing stuff all over the place. But he's got plenty of time for you if you've got something, that a big job that you need. This is the thing. He can do – plenty of jobs that are too small, but there is no job that's too big for Jeff Aaronoff right now. All you got to do is give him a call, and he will get his guys, and he can design it for you. There's a step that you miss, an architect that you have to – or someone to design your outdoor kitchen, or the new – you want to change up the entire look of your business and countertops and everything else. And Jeff can get in there and look at it and say, well, this is what we can do here. And he does this every single day. And you're the one that benefits. You're losing a step there, so you're not paying as much. And Jeff will take care of this, and you can trust that he knows what he's doing. He's been doing this for a long time. He knows how to get this junk. Absolute Marble and Granite will come to your business, come to your home, free evaluation, a free estimate, and then give you 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. You got a job. No job too big for Jeff Aaronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
I texted Pendergast something about our fantasy league, our auction league. It's like, stop bugging me during the show, dirty pool.
Do you know we have a date set?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Just about how many roster spots. I just want to make sure.
No, during the show?
Yeah, I'm going to start sending him a bunch of text messages. With Salisbury's number, I'm going to start sending him stuff.
I'll give it to you. Hold on.
Hey, bro, Salisbury, just do me a favor.
Salisbury will just go bleep you. Okay? Lance, jerk, a-hole.
836 here on. Why are you getting so mad about the Houston Texans?
I don't,
they're
going to
be fine. They won
10
games
about
or 11 games in a row.
Yeah,
how many in
did.
A row did they win last year?
They won 100 games in a row. Congratulations.
See? Everything's going to be fine.
Why are you so upset? Because a couple people here told you what was going to happen, and John was like, no. Why can't people get excited about this team? Why won't they get excited? They're playing well. They're winning games. And then
I don't want to talk
what
about
was predicted happened, and now John's on the other end now. Can't even get excited about his football team anymore.
No, this is the least optimistic I think I've ever been about the Texans. And I was optimistic about a 2-win team. I thought that was a playoff team.
Weren't they coming off a 12-win regular season?
12 wins.
What, 13 in 2013?
Yeah.
It felt like just more of the same to me, but not a 2-win team. I thought they might go to 9.
No,
9 wins. This year, so
they were my Super Bowl
favorite. I always have a 3-4 game spread.
So it was a little disappointing.
So last year my expectations were 7-9 all the way up to a 10-win season. Those were my expectations, cuz I was pretty high on Deshaun Watson coming back. That was my expectations, is anywhere from worst case 7-9, best case a 10-win team. This year I would drop it a game. So it's more 6-10 to 9-7.
And it's all got to do with the schedule, right? Because this is a better football team than last year's team. Without J.D. Clowney notwithstanding.
Well, I mean,
that's kind of a big
deal. Got a factor. How are they a better entering this season? Where are they? How are they better?
Entering this season, well, Kiki QT, you know what he is.
No, we don't.
Well, no.
I expected him to be healthy last year.
Well, you expected him to be healthy, but you didn't know he could give you that kind of production.
To me, he's a question mark.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can stay on the field.
We see Will Fuller.
Same question
mark. The offensive line is better. Deshaun is a year older.
The offensive line is better. Deshaun is a year older. First two games against twos and threes?
Yeah, yeah. This offensive line, I've got a lot more faith in than
last. You got faith in Matt Khalil.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
You got faith in Sean Trell.
I don't think Matt Khalil's going to be your left tackle.
Who is?
If you want to know the truth.
Say it. It's Roderick Johnson.
Shh. I didn't say that.
No, he is right now.
Yeah.
Roderick's the number two right now.
I know. Well,
I saw Max Sharping out at right tackle yesterday. It didn't look bad. Max Sharping played right tackle in college. So, and I asked Bill O'Brien
specifically.
You
want to know the truth? I think that he might be your guy.
Not a left.
Why not?
Sharping, he's not quick enough to handle left. It'll be the same thing as Martinez Rankins, who, by the way, Martinez Rankins, this could be one and done for him.
No, I think he'll be, he'll barely make it, but he'll make it.
And you know the problem with him? Here's the problem I think that's developed. They played him at a position where he was not physically capable of handling speed rushers, which would be the same for Max Sharping. And I think his confidence was shot. I don't think he's a confident guy anymore. And that's something Seth Payne and I were talking about, and he said that might be it, because he's just not like he said he hasn't been great out here at all up to this point. He seems to be in the doghouse. I think mentally he may have been beat after getting his ass handed to him at left tackle. You don't put a guy in a position to fail as a rookie. You just don't do that. That's not smart. I didn't think it was smart in the first place. That's why I'm not a big fan of playing Titus Howard. Wherever you think he's got the best chance to succeed, play him there. If you think he's going to fail early on, then make an assessment if he's mentally tough to hold up to early failings. Because not everybody is. As a matter of fact, a lot of players aren't. Cornerbacks get their confidence shot early on, unless they're very mentally tough. That's why a lot of cornerbacks don't start as rookies.
So, Roderick Johnson. Okay.
Well, who were you going to say that was good? Did you have some secret weapon at left tackle that's going to kill
him? I thought from the get-go that Titus Howard would be thrown out there. Go get it, kid. This is your job. You're a first-round pick. You're a big boy. Let's go.
And he's probably not ready either.
No, he's not ready, but did we think Dwayne Brown was ready?
This is why. Are you sure the offensive line's a lot better? I like him guard to guard better. I think the tackle's still questionable. I thought Julian Davenport looked pretty decent yesterday, and I heard he has been coming along a little bit. So it will be interesting to see
if they keep four tackles. Your left tackle last year. So yeah, you're better.
I don't know that Matt Khalil is going to be a lot better.
Well, I don't think Matt Khalil's your guy.
To me, I don't want to hear about better. If a guy is bad and you go from bad to, if you go from really bad to bad, that's not an improvement to me. Bad is bad. I don't care how bad it is.
Well, no, really bad is worse. Really bad is worse.
To me, if you're bad at left tackle, you're bad. There's levels of bad. It's all bad.
Yeah.
There's bad, average, and good. Bad, average, and good. Do you think that Houston Texans, how many positions do you think they're going to be good along the offensive line? Any?
No.
I don't.
I think Howard will come along as the season progresses. I think Sharping will be good. I think, you know what? Those two guys on each side of Nick Martin, he'll be serviceable. I think you'll be.
That's average.
Well, right. I think Chantrell, what I've seen of Chantrell this preseason has been okay.
I would love average this year. If you can get an offensive line that's average.
Okay, over sacks. I'm gonna go 42.
You think they're going to reduce them by 12?
Yes.
I'll go over. I'm going to go under. I'm going to say 46.5.
I'm going to go under that.
Okay.
I'm going under that.
Under 46.
Because here's why, too, is if the wide receivers stay healthy. If
they'll scheme it out of his hands quicker.
That's what I'm saying.
Deshaun's got to buy into it.
And Deshaun's a year older, where he's going to be better in the pocket, making quicker decisions. The game's going to slow down a little bit for him. All of those things are happening. I see Deshaun as a confident guy right now. And when you're confident, you're throwing the ball
out. You ever see him not confident? I think he's always confident.
Well, I don't know. I just see the ball going where he wants it now all the time. You know, he was more inaccurate before. He's more accurate now. And that will build a lot of confidence.
Well, I really want to see how I haven't pulled anything out of preseason. Not much. I mean, I've pulled some things out of certain players, but not the good ones. Like, this is going to be the first time against the Cowboys.
Not the games. I'm talking about the practices.
Yeah, I want to see how we look in games. I want to see what Matt Khalil looks like under fire. I want to see what all these guys look like under fire.
Well, maybe he'll play this week, get a little something.
I don't think so. He's got his foot stepped on. He's still not back at practice.
Yeah,
so he's not playing this week.
Right. Well, that's great.
They think he'll be there for the start of the season, though.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hope he shows up with JD. That'll be great. That'll be great if people start showing up. 844 ESPN 97.5.
Showing up's important.
Kind of. GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's what I'm talking about. If you're looking for a great way to sell your car, that's my man, John Clay Wolf over there. He is nuts. That dude is crazy. He don't care. He does not care what he says ever. And that's awesome. I mean, if you care about that, I don't know why you would care about that. All you would care about right now is getting the most for your vehicle. And John Clay Wolf does that. He gets you the most money for your car. It takes about 45 seconds for you to get a minute to get your quote back. You type in the VIN number or your license plate, and then you maybe even send them a picture. Here's what kind of shape it's in. Wow, that's awesome. Here's what we'll give you. Huh. Well, I think it's worth a little bit more. Okay, how about this? Okay. All right. Well, CarMax is offering me this. Well, we can beat that. So if they can't beat CarMax, if CarMax is offering, here's a legitimate offer from CarMax that John Clay Wolf says he can't beat, he's going to send you $100. And he says, every once in a while, I got to send a check out. Oh, well, $100. But you know what? And that's amazing because he gives you the most for your vehicle, and yet he's still got a thriving business. He just knows how to do it. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. Sell him your car at GiveMeTheVin.com.
Yo, turn me up in the headphones. Like that. Yeah.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you see the story about the Detroit Free Press and Justin Verlander? Apparently, last night, Verlander refused to do an interview if the Detroit Free Press reporter was in the room. So the Astros had to block him. Gene Diaz had to block this guy from coming in. They had three security guards. They wouldn't let him in to Verlander's press conference.
Ooh, is that overstepping if you're Gene Diaz?
No. Well, here's the deal.
Is that overstepping?
Verlander said, I'm not talking to anyone if this guy's in the room. So that's your option. Either I talk to no one or you keep this guy out.
Fans don't care about this, but I'm just interested.
It's is actually, that a Major League Baseball against, issue? Yes, it's, yeah. against the, it's against the rules. So they're going to have an issue with this. Because you can't block one guy.
There's no way that Gene didn't know that was against the rules.
Well, yeah, but he also was he's between a rock and a hard place.
I know he is.
So, you know, either nobody gets to talk to Justin Verlander after he throws a perfect game other than two home runs, or...
a perfect game other than two home runs?
Right.
Well, I've never heard that.
He faced 29 batters.
Yes. I wish they had been singles.
Well, I wish they would have been... They were outs.
They could have been doubles, and you still would have won.
Yeah.
Shutout. Two-hit shutout. As it stands, they weren't. He's given up 33 home runs now, career high.
Yeah, oh well. And he's still... And he's Cy Young. Well... I don't give a rat's ass. Okay, he's got five losses.
Just don't
how
bet
about,
on him.
How about score
just
more?
Just don't bet
how
on him.
How about don't get thrown out at third base just with two outs?
Don't bet on him.
Well, no. If you'd bet against him the last two outings, what? Holy crap.
We had a $100 parlay. You had an open parlay.
Oh, my God.
You had an open parlay.
You know how much money you would make?
Yeah, good. A $100 open parlay where you bet against him the first time and then the second time. That $100 would probably be worth, what, $800? You think it'd be 8-1? Oh, higher than that, right?
It'd be way more than that.
You've got 3-1. You've got 3.5-1 odds. No, it'd be about 9.5-10. It'd be about $1,000 winner.
No, because you got 400 and 400 from each one. That's 800 well, right there.
You didn't get to 400. You were in the 300s.
390.
360.
It was 390.
The first one was
390. This one was 435.
How could it be 390?
Plus 390.
That's not possible. The juice, what kind of, that's too favorable. The number was 460. Oh, no. Yeah, the 460 was when he won. He won at 460.
He's been over 400. It's minus 460 and plus 390. That's what it was. There's 75 juice. It's minus 470 and plus 390.
All right, here. Let's do it right now.
Yeah.
Parlay calculator.
Right.
Let's get this.
$100 on plus
$100.
Plus 390 and plus 435. I'm telling
plus
you, it's way more than
390
that.
390 and plus, what was the last
435.
One? 435. Calculate. Boom. That can't be right.
Yes, it could be. I'm telling you.
This can't be right. 2,521.
Yes,
that can't
be right. That's right. No, you're. It's multiples. Yes, it's absolutely right.
I'm doing it again.
Don't do it again.
Different parlay calculator.
852 ESPN 97. You know what nobody wants to hear about? You calculating a parlay that you didn't bet, okay?
I know. I could have won money if I bet. Who bets against Justin Verlander
in a parlay?
Too straight.
Baltimore and Detroit.
Nobody ever.
Ever. Right around never.
Nobody ever.
Yeah, that's good radio.
You know what, though? Who bets on themselves? Well, we don't have to talk work suites right now, do we?
No, we're
doing the show right now.
Yeah,
right?
We're doing.
Trying to roll me into a segue.
No. So Deadspin puts out every year why your team sucks.
Is it Drew Magary still writing them?
It is Drew Magary.
Drew's
it,
so
it's
good.
Actually, there's a lot of dead on points. Bill O'Brien, his demeanor is one of them. How the Texans lost last year to Blaine Gabbert. And they're not playing Blaine Gabbert anymore. They take a lot of shots. Brian Gain, he was ousted for a little down-home racism. No, he wasn't. That's inaccurate. Your quarterback somehow survived despite the Texans' best efforts to do him what the Panthers constantly try to do to Cam Newton. Wait. Racist hoodlum of an owner, Bob McNair. What? That? Stop. This is... Now, they make some points, but those are not some of them. What's new that sucks? Well, their whole... I mean, this is terrible.
Well, I thought you liked it.
Anyway.
I thought you liked it.
There were some points that were... Listen, there's a lot of things not to be crazy about with the Texans, but it is overall going to be a mediocre football team. So let's stop saying that they're just this horrible. Okay?
I've been thinking about ways that the Texans can be a lot. We're shooting so low that there is a scenario. It requires health, but there is a scenario where the Texans could be, I think, kind of a surprise team. It involves Deshaun taking that big step in year three, which is reasonable.
Yeah.
I think it's reasonable. It requires Will Fuller and Kiki QT being healthy, which is fairly unreasonable. I don't think your offensive line has to be good. I think they have to be average. The problem is, I wish there was a running back. I can't look at Duke Johnson or Lamar Miller and say, this is the guy that really clicks the tumbler on the offense to open up the vault for success.
And to me, that's not it. To me, it's being able to stop good quarterbacks this year. To me, it's going to be the defense. I think the offense is going to be just fine as long as, like you said, they stay healthy, which is a big if. But I think that you're going to get into shootouts. And the defense, when was the last time the defense came up with a huge stop at the end of a game against a good quarterback? They just don't.
They don't.
They just don't. It just doesn't happen. 855 ESPN 97.5. Now you can talk about work suites.
I like the Bulls on parade, John. There's a lot of Bulls that are parading right now. Maybe you're parading around your living room, your home office, and you're like, I can't get anything done. I keep listening to these Yahoos, and I keep on, turning on the TV. I'm watching Mindhunter. I gotta start. I'm grazing on snacks in the pantry. Do me a favor. Get an office from Work Suites. You can get your own office space. They've got their own kitchen area. They got great amenities for you. There's a lot to really like over at Work Suites. Not only do you get a great place to work, but you get the things like FedEx and UPS. It comes directly to your office space. You have a receptionist. You have an office space that is a very professional space that they can bring your clients into. You can have clients come to the location, and they will walk them to your suite. And it's a very, very professional looking outfit because there's not signage of all these different companies. So it feels like it's just your big home, your big office. The other thing with Work Suites that I think is very important is that it gives people who don't want to travel in from the Sugar Land area or from North Houston, gives you an option. Get an office there, whether it's a larger office or smaller office, so that you don't have to spend all that time, 2 hours, sometimes even 3 hours of travel time that you are losing every single day in Houston traffic. Wouldn't you love to get that back, get your own personal time back? There's a lot of people who, especially in the Woodlands area, go out to the Woodlands to make sure that they get their personal time back so they don't spend all that time in the car. Work Suites has packages that have the office furniture that you need, or you can bring your own in. Whatever you're looking for, I promise you, from 4 months to 24 months, they have a lease that is going to suit you. And if you're someone that just likes to drop in and you're going to the coffee shops right now as your office, Work Suites can do the same thing for you at a reduced cost, and you can have a great workspace, shared workspace environment at Work Suites. Go to worksuites.com. That's worksuites.com. 5 locations around the Houston area.